listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's cool, man. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, live from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. We're at Lucas Oil Stadium here in the media frenzy has begun. Every NFL media person descending on Indianapolis for the Scouting Combine. And they also come not only to see the players, but to hear from the coaches and general managers around the National Football League. They heard from both the Browns head coach Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer over the last 2 days. Here is Mike Pettine addressing the media.
A. It's being discussed. Jordan's a very good football player, had a much better year 2 years ago. Obviously had some setbacks injury-wise this year. It affected his production, but that's certainly on the table being discussed. But it still falls back to when you work in a cap environment that it's got to be the right player first, but just as important, it's got to be the right price. I did go to visit him last week. I'll keep the details of that private, just out of, to respect his privacy and the situation that he's in. But other than that, we're also just in general terms with that time of year with players. There's not a lot of communication. The conversations cannot be football based. But I just wanted to go visit him and see how he's doing and let him know that we're proud of him for the decision he made to go in, and obviously he has our full support. Did not. It was his choice. I did not. I mean, I knew that our players from time to time, some more than others, would be out and about, but I didn't know that there was a problem. Certainly one that was that serious. He did not.
Do you have any expectations for when he might be joining the team?
I think it was open-ended. Again, I don't want to get into too many details of it. So I don't have a firm idea of when he'll be back. Again, respect his privacy. He's in a much better place now than he was before he went in. And he's very determined, to come out of it in a much better way.
Does it add even more question marks to an already uncertain quarterback situation?
Well, I'd be a lot more concerned if we had a game this Sunday. But it's something that's a position that we're gonna look to address. All options are on the table. Talked about that at the end of the year. With him in year one. Again, I'm not in the hindsight and woulda, coulda, shoulda with that. What regrets we have? We coached him to the best of our ability as a coaching staff, and that there were some issues that at the end of the year he felt he needed to address, and he went ahead and stepped forward and said, "I need help," and went ahead and initiated it. He'll be treated as we treated him before. He's one. He'll be one of our 90 players in the spring, and we'll go from there. The hiring of Kevin O'Connell. I know a lot's been made of that, but we know Kevin will do a great job with all of our quarterbacks, holding them accountable, not just working on their technique, but implementing the scheme. And we're confident not just Johnny, but all of our quarterbacks will make great strides under John DeFilippo and under Kevin as their coach. I think we had the information that everybody else in the league had. So when it's easy to look back now and say, what did you miss? Or you can interpret something a little bit differently now, and it's, it turns out to be a deeper-rooted thing than you thought. But obviously we felt very comfortable with his background, and certainly enough to draft him.
After Johnny Manziel and Josh Ford, do you feel like as a franchise, maybe you guys need to make a little
Well, I think there's a danger in that, that if you just say, hey, listen, we're only going to add players to our roster that are, you know, in the National Honor Society and, you know, in the school choir, and there's a danger to that. I mean, you look across the league. I mean, it's not just the league; it's society in general. It's rare that you're going to have somebody that has that just has impeccable, clean character, and it's all risk reward. You got to weigh it, just as every team. It's one of the reasons we're here doing these interviews, and you know, we've had some players that have had some issues, and you look to learn from it. But at the same time, I don't think you can just knee-jerk react and go the exact other direction. And this, anybody that has any type of red flag, you shy away from. Well, that's probably accurate, just because it's you just look at the uncertainty of where he is, and just given the small sample size, we still don't know. You know, based on what he was going through, whether or not he is that answer. I just think there's too much unknown. Like I said, I'd obviously be scared if we had a game this weekend. But it's a position we're well aware of where our depth chart is, and we'll certainly look to address here in the coming months. I'll be honest, I wasn't thrilled about it, but you know, Ray and I have had very clear and open conversations about it. I think he's, as you guys will see tomorrow when you talk to him, he you know, apologized to not just to myself, but to other members of the organization. And again, it was, you know, in game is very emotional, so I'm not going to go into my initial reaction. But at the same time, I'm very comfortable with my relationship with Ray. That hasn't changed. He and I still see things very much the same. And I think a lot of it, it's a mistake. He admits it. And a lot of it's deeply rooted in his competitiveness, that here's a guy that wants to win. And I think if you polled all the GMs, I think those 3-4 hours on Sunday might be the toughest of the week. So, again, it's an unfortunate thing. And we'll certainly, you know, we're waiting for the league to, you know, to hand down the punishment for it, and whatever it is, we'll abide by it. I wouldn't say that it had to rebuild. I mean, Ray's very open, very honest, very forward. That he was a part of our Monday night meetings when we did our post-game audit, we call it an after-action report. We get together as coordinators, and he sat in on that, and we went back through the game. What did we do well? What did we not do well? If we played this team again, what would we do different? You know, what issues did we have in it, and you know, what are the things that we have to address moving forward? And he was a part of those meetings, and when he had a concern, he brought it up, and those questions were answered. The door hasn't closed, or whatever cliche you want to use. We're open to him coming back. I know he's spoken a lot on the subject, but it's a situation where we're going to weigh all of our options here. We're going to weigh all of our options in free agency, and certainly didn't want to close that door. But at the end of the year, it's tough. You know, I think most guys are sick of seeing each other and want to get out of town. I did have a good meeting with Brian, and to me, he and I have always been very open, very honest with each other. So that meeting was no different. Not much. He wasn't really working with him. I know some reports are out there that he was doing playbook stuff with him. Kevin doesn't even know our offense yet, so it was. It was a situation where we felt we were doing the right thing, that he interviewed him, offered him the job, and he said, hey, listen, I gave some young men my word that I would work with them to prepare them for the combine, and he wanted to honor that commitment. It's a very important time of their life, and they trusted him with that responsibility, and that's the kind, anybody that knows Kevin knows he's that kind of guy. So I didn't look at it in any way is we're gaining some advantage because he's doing some drill work with and some classroom work with these quarterbacks. I just looked at it as, you know, here's a guy with integrity, wants to, you know, fulfill a commitment that he made, and we were more than willing to sit back and wait till the time was right to bring him on board. No, he was asking about where to live and where to eat, where I think the more important things. But having gone against him twice a year, I think he had a pretty good feel for that roster. I am, because I just know the quality of people there, just the community and the building, and I think he's a great fit there. He'll do well. He did. Yeah, I mean, he's... It was recent, so I know it went well, and really don't have much else on his. I've seen him a few times around the building. The changes on the offensive staff we're very optimistic about. Personally, I spoke on this when we hired Flip. That I'm very rejuvenated. I think we are as a coaching staff, the opportunity to self-assess and look to get better for me to immerse myself on the offensive side. Feel very positive about it. Defensively, we're a year into the system. We know our players much better. We know what our strengths are, and more importantly, what our shortcomings are. We're in the process now of going through the tape, making corrections, all the self-scout stuff. And we feel we return a lot of pieces that if we can get a handful of positions right, then when you look at it, we were sitting at 7-4 in one point and playing pretty good football. And then for a lot of reasons, the bottom fell out and certainly didn't finish the way that we wanted to. But there's still momentum to take from that. You'd be surprised at how positive the feelings are, not just in the coaching area, but around the building about the Browns moving forward. I know that feeling's not shared by many outside of the building, but if I had to choose one, that's how I would prefer it to be. Well, I just think as a coach, especially as a head coach, when you're in a leadership position, you can't get overly emotional. You can't overreact to things. And I just feel like I've always had the ability to compartmentalize. And when you're in a game week, you don't have much time other than focusing on the current opponent to worry about much anyway. So, like I said, when you're in that in-season mode, each week is like in its own box, and then you're on to the next one. You're talking about the last month of the season or the last? No, I think a lot of positives come from the last month. I know Jimmy spoke about the retreat that we all went on, and we came out of it much better as an organization, much more on the same page. I think in year one, you end up kind of flying by the seat of your pants a little bit and feeling your way, and year two, you get to settle down and take a look back at year one. And to me, the most upsetting thing to me about this month has been the depiction of Jimmy Haslam. And I know some people are going to say this: "Hey, this is a guy that just, you know, this is the guy that signs his check, so he's gonna pump him up." But he's been depicted as a guy that, you know, that has been meddlesome and involved in a lot of decisions, and that hasn't been the case at all. Was not involved in any draft decisions. Was not involved in any playing time decisions. That he's been the ultimate, you know, we talk about it as servant leadership. You know, what do you need for us to get better? And I can't think of one instance where we've asked for something and he said no. So he's very inquisitive. He wants to know a lot what's going on. But for us as a coaching staff in year one, I mean, he was outstanding. Well, what we did when the season ended, and we had to do it again this year on offense, was go through each position, kind of give the position attributes, you know, in Flip's offense, what's he looking for in an X receiver? What's he looking for in a slot? What do the tight ends look like? What are the fullback? What does the fullback look like? So it's a situation where we give him the information of what we're looking for. We prioritize our needs, and then we go on from there. I think history shows that receiver is the one position where you don't necessarily have to find them high in the draft. But I know we'll set the draft board up based on value and hope we're getting great value at every pick. Yeah, that's something I know I filled out the survey on. Our staff was a little bit mixed on it when it's something that's that subjective. But I know we'll get into a lot more discussion down at the owners' meetings on that as coaches.
That was Browns head coach Mike Pettine addressing the media yesterday. Want to get your take. What was the biggest takeaway you had from his session there? Also, call us up, 216-578-0850. Are you feeling better about the Browns now after hearing from Pettine, after hearing from Ray Farmer? Let us know again, 216-578-0850. And again, biggest takeaway. What do you think of what Mike Pettine had to say? I can tell you what, he certainly won the room here in Indianapolis. The media has been gushing about him. There have been positive articles written about him. Bleacher Report, ESPN as well. What a great job he did in that press conference and how he seems to be the right man to lead the Browns back to the promised land. Got him to 7 wins last year. Some people overlooked that. We got some tweets. I was asking people if they feel better about what's going on with the Browns. And we got from Chris Sotz. He says, talk is cheap. They've done nothing to impress us yet. Listen. Let's not forget we're the Browns, 7-9. That is impressive for what the Browns have been doing lately. That's the most wins
since
2007.
Exactly.
So I'd say that's something in his first year. We'll take it. Now hopefully they can build on that. Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.